right, all right, all right.
Stepping out of the fucking time machine.
We are back. Did you miss us?
I didn't even move out of the chair.
I think I leaned over to shit.
I farted and it smelled really bad.
Well, we are back. Episode two of JonBenet Ramsey.
We're going to try and make this episode a little more expeditious to try and not stretch it out to an hour. But
there was a lot to cover that we needed to get into in the first one, kind of to set the stage for the days after. Because, of course, leading up to the murder and the day of the murder is the big thing. You know, we have to get into the evidence, the note, which is a huge mindfuck.
And now we're getting into...
Now we're the aftermath.
Yes.
We're going to go right into it.
And looking back on the investigation, the biggest mistake that the police department made, the FBI was called in briefly because it was a kidnapping, which is always FBI. And then as soon as it was a murder,
once they found the body,
the FBI's like,
we're backing out. Yep, it's your guys' ball.
One thing, like I was saying, Patsy and John Ramsey were interviewed very briefly the day of the happening.
Yes.
Okay. They were not separated at all for the entire length of this incident.
They dodged the interviews until about April.
May,
okay. Yeah.
May of 1997.
Yes.
The next fucking year.
5 months they dodged separate interviews.
And at that point, it was already brewing that they were being looked at. There was a huge umbrella of suspicion that was completely shadowing them.
Yeah.
So what did they do? They lawyered up.
They lawyered up. They actually hired a lawyer. They hired a PR firm.
Yes.
Who the fuck hires a PR firm?
And why?
They were completely getting slandered. You know, all eyes were on them, essentially. So I feel like maybe they have wanted to do this to get, you know, outside of the local area.
They hated the media.
They hated, yeah.
And they hated the police.
And the amount of, they hated the police because the police all thought that it was the Ramseys. Yeah,
they said that the Boulder Police Department was completely fixated and focused on the fact that it was either John or Patsy.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about the fact that there were 38 sex offenders living in the neighborhood. There are 100 burglaries committed in the past, you know, weeks leading up to that.
Yeah.
But the Boulder Police Department was out for blood. And John and Patsy, they pretty much refused to be interviewed.
Yes.
Practically.
Completely.
Then the police department started drilling in the fact that they wanted polygraph tests done.
Yes.
And they were going to, the polygraphs were going to be administered by the FBI. John and Patsy said, no,
they were refusing.
They were refusing. They said, we will do polygraphs, but it will be on our own terms. So they did the polygraph tests with polygraphists that were hired by their attorneys. Okay. So, anytime you do something like that and you have that kind of money, you're going to pay someone to say whatever the fuck you want them to say. But it did, during the polygraph tests, the first test, that polygraphist said, it's inconclusive. I can't give you any answers about anything. So for someone to be hired by the defense attorney and just be like, I can't say either way, that immediately throws a shadow over everything. It makes you think like, okay, they can't pass a polygraph test.
Yeah.
Then they hired another guy and he, you know, he didn't even pass them with flying colors.
They can't even get somebody on their side.
Patsy passed in terms of the note. Okay. But John's came back inconclusive the first time in terms of the note. And then he didn't take a polygraph test again in relation to the note. So he could not pass when it came to the facts of the note.
Ugh.
About whether he wrote it or if he knew who wrote it or where it came from. He could not pass that part of the polygraph test.
Of course he couldn't.
Because they're sleazy pieces of shit.
Yeah. So JonBenet was murdered on or around Christmas, found on the 26th.
Yes.
They did hold memorial services on the 29th. That was 3 days after she died. She is actually buried on the 31st. It's a New Year's Eve. Now, the Boulder Police Department, they wanted to hold the body until the parents physically gave the interviews. But
illegal.
Yeah, the DA was like, "Yeah, that's not an option. We can't do that. They have to have their body."
Yeah. And they, like I said, they did do a brief interview, but also they talked to Burke as well.
Yes.
Extremely briefly, but then he was passed along to a social worker where when he talked to the social worker, he portrayed like he wasn't really affected by the murder, that it didn't bother him at all. And he said he didn't like to be bothered by this stuff. He just wanted to focus on his fucking video games.
I just want to eat pineapple.
Yeah.
So, and touch my sister.
Yeah. They just kept saying that Burke, he was just really disconnected. Unaffected by the fact that his sister was dead.
He just didn't give a shit. Plain and simple.
Yeah, and then, sorry, to go back and touch on the polygraph tests, the Ramseys would not speak with the U.S. media, but then finally they broke down, and I think they sat down with some type of British, possibly BBC type, and there was an attorney on there, and he asked the question, I am an attorney, and anytime I have a client that has to take a polygraph test, I coach them up and teach them how to pass a polygraph test, even if they are going to be deceptive. Is that something that your attorney tried to get you to do? And Patsy tried to answer the question, tried to say, you know, that's kind of not a fair question because of client attorney.
So,
and then,
yes.
And then John cut her off and said, well, you know, in terms of, and just kind of talked in circles and would not answer the question. Like, they were obviously coached up to pass a polygraph test.
Yeah, them sidestepping just says,
yes. Yeah, and even to quote Patsy Ramsey, she called polygraph tests voodoo science.
God damn voodoo science.
Voodoo science. Yeah. Well, so, the body, you know, like I said, the DA says, you know, that's not an option. They're gonna get to bury their daughter. They fly her back to Atlanta, for burial, and that's actually on the 30th is when they fly her back. She's buried on the 31st. On the 1st of January, John and Patsy give their first interview, and it's to CNN.
Mm-hmm.
So they distrust the police at this point so much that I think they're taking their PR people's ideas, you know, and I think they told them, like, you know what, this is already a huge deal. You need to get out there and you need to let everybody know your side of what's going on. So they're going on damage control, or, you know, so they're trying to get what happened out. They're trying to cast doubt, you know, across the nation, essentially. Yeah. So that's on the 1st. Now, later in January, or I should say after the 1st, it's still early January, more information is released about the death of JonBenet, like about the things that had happened. They released that her mouth and throat were both taped, and the cord that was used for the garrote was a specific type of a parachute cord. Now, if I'm correct,
John Ramsey, he had some experience.
Yeah, that he did have experience, and the fact that they were checking credit card records, and this is 9 months after the fact, they found a charge from a hardware store, and the price of the item from that hardware store, the only thing, because it's, a lot of times, this is coming from working for credit card companies, you'll get a, you won't get an itemized list, but you'll get a listing of like the section that the stuff was bought in.
Right.
the only item in that section that was purchased for that specific price was that exact type of cord.
Oh, God.
So you have that matchup. And I mean, that could be consequential. It could have been something that, you know, I'm not necessarily saying was used purposely for that, but it shows fact, you know, it shows proof that they did buy these things.
Yes.
They did on the third, we've already gotten into this, but on the third, investigators do announce to the public that the ransom note was from a tablet of paper that was inside of the Ramsey's house. Now, in April, the Ramsey's lawyer sends the police a letter claiming that the police are not investigating the case properly because they're just looking into the family, of course.
Yeah, and also, they had investigators that worked this case step down and resign from the case because it was so fucked up. They were getting so much pushback from the district attorney's office. The DAs did not want the Ramseys investigated at all.
Right.
They were not a suspect at all in the eyes of the district attorney.
They had completely dismissed them.
To the point that in 1999, it was the police finally presented all the evidence to a grand jury. A grand jury decided to indict John and Patsy Ramsey for the crime.
For, was it like,
it was child abuse? It was not murder. It was committing, or it was,
like conspiracy to, or something.
Yeah,
like something
creating an environment for child abuse.
Yeah.
And for, they were also being charged with assisting the actual act of what happened.
Yeah.
Okay, so a grand jury said, there's enough shit here. We're going to indict them. We want to take them to trial.
Circumstantial evidence or not, there's a lot of shit that points to
that. The district attorney refused to sign it, so it was kicked back. They were not charged. The statute of limitations passed in 2002.
It expired, yeah.
And that, for the police department, that's the ultimate slap in the face to know that even though you were trying to serve justice, the justice system...
It's shut you out.
Is not going to prosecute.
Right. It's crazy. The Ramseys take out, they also take out an ad in the paper with a $100,000 reward for any information for anybody that, you know, that they have on the murder.
Should have made it for $118,000.
Now, of bitches. The Ramseys are not interviewed. I have at the end of April when they're interviewed separately by police. Now going back, it looks like in a year later, I don't really have anything from April 30th until January of 98. In the middle of January of 1998, the Ramseys are refusing to do any interviews with anyone unless they get a chance to see all of the evidence from the case, which at this point in time, they're still, from the police department, they're still suspects.
Yes.
So, you can't show a suspect all of the evidence.
No.
And, I mean, for obvious reasons, you know, if they see certain evidence, they're going to be able to adjust their story to, you know, say, like, well, this is why.
Yeah. Well, during the trial, they'll get the evidence, but leading up to that.
Yeah, they refused to do any interviews unless they got that information. Which definitely should never ever happen.
And another thing that the investigator cited is they were trying to go get certain pieces of evidence that they might have needed a search warrant for.
Yeah.
And the district attorney was flat out refusing to allow them to retrieve certain pieces of evidence that they needed to conduct the investigation.
And do you have any information on Lou Smith?
No.
I don't know if he may have been I didn't write it down, but he may have been like a detective or forensic. I think he was a forensic.
He was an investigator of some type, and in his mind, the family was completely exonerated.
Yeah.
And he completely chalked it up to an intruder.
Yeah. He definitely went along with the intruder theory. He ends up finding a hair on the blanket that JonBenet was wrapped in and thought it was a pubic hair. Now, it ended up being a body hair, some specific type of a body hair, which obviously couldn't have been JonBenet's. But they also found that it couldn't rule out Patsy or any other female in lineage once they did tests on that. They also found a lot of latent prints in the wine cellar.
A spooky fact to shoot at you, because we're kind of along those lines.
Yeah.
And you, I would love to go into that house right now, but the wine cellar is completely filled up with bricks. It's completely bricked over.
Really?
Yes. The wine cellar is nothing. It's just a brick wall. But I think what I read is the door is bricked, so there's just an empty room with no fucking doors where this girl was laid to die. Well, her body.
They better not include that in their square footage for their house records.
I would say not.
That's misleading to personal potential buyers.
You're paying taxes on that shit.
Yeah. I'd be knocking that shit down.
Yeah.
And here's a really cool thing that they found. One of the things they found at the crime scene here that they found a partial boot print from a pair of high-tech boots.
Yes.
Now, there was only two pairs of boots that they found that potentially matched up with this boot print. One was Ron Walker, who was actually a supervisor with the FBI. So, of course, you know, with them stumbling around, those are going to be there. But his boots had a lot more wear on them than what that print showed.
Right.
So that proved that the print that they found was from a newer pair of boots. Now, going back to the credit card records and the records of purchasing and everything, they found that Patsy had purchased a pair of high-tech boots for Burke within a month of that incident, of the whole, murder. But they were never able to locate those boots.
Hmm.
They searched both houses that they had and were never able
to... Searched all their houses.
Yeah. They were never able to find them. And you know what? Something that this just made me think of that I didn't say anything about, and I don't know why it didn't remind me. Or why I didn't think of this. When the day that JonBenet died, Mr. Ramsey was booking a flight with his private, a private jet to go to a business meeting. He was planning on leaving right after his daughter died. And first off, who would do that? Right after your daughter died.
Yeah, he had...
Your work's going to understand.
He had full intentions to still go even after the death.
And the thing is that you guys just that morning were getting ready for a vacation in Michigan. All of a sudden, you have a business meeting that you need to get to.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that about?
Right.
Like, I'm sorry, but if I call into work and I'm like, you know what? My daughter was murdered.
They're going to say, call me back when you're better.
Yeah, they're going to be like... Unless you work for the shittiest place ever, they're going to be like, okay, you know what? Do what you got to do. Yeah. Take the time you need. That's fine.
McDonald's guy.
Yeah.
Need you to be in here for the lunch rush. Or these Shamrock Shakes come back today. We're fucked, man.
These McRibs aren't going to make themselves, asshole. I don't know how I forgot that, but reading the thing about the boots just made me think of it.
Yeah.
Now, we've gone into a little bit of the evidence of what we have.
And how shifty the fucking Ramseys were afterwards.
Yeah,
they said
exactly.
Patsy was infuriated that a uniformed officer showed up to investigate the crime. That when they called police and said, oh my God, my daughter's missing, she's been kidnapped, there's a ransom note, she was expecting some white shirts to just roll up, some detectives and a Yukon, and just start the investigation. She was furious that there was an officer with a gun on his hip wearing a uniform, showed up for the initial call.
Yeah, fucking crazy.
Bitch.
She's dead now, so fucking rest in peace, bitch.
Cancer.
Yeah, cancer. It got her. Evidence we have, of course, the broken basement window, which we've went into. The ransom note, which is a crock of shit. And we've also went into the fact that, that the note was tested for fingerprints. And
the multitudes of different strands of DNA that shows that she was murdered by a fucking basketball team.
Yeah. handwriting samples that match fibers. Now, this there's a really strange thing that happens here with fibers. There is a lot of fibers that they find in the, you know, on JonBenet. There's a lot of fibers in the duct tape. Police had requested to get the clothes from that night from the Ramseys. Now, the police, as we said, you know, were really pushing. They wanted to get one piece in particular, which was the jacket that Patsy was wearing that night.
And yeah, they also said that when they showed up for the investigation, for the initial call, she looked like she'd been out of bed for hours. She was wearing the clothes she was wearing from the night before.
They all were.
Perfect hair, perfect makeup, and it looked like she'd never gone to sleep.
Yes. They wanted the jacket in particular. They kept trying to get it, and finally they ended up getting it. Now, whenever they got this jacket, they noticed that it appeared to have been either freshly dry cleaned or it was a brand new jacket.
Yeah.
Brand new sweater, whatever you want to call it. But even then, they compared the fibers to the fibers that were found on the crime scene, and they were a perfect match in every way.
Imagine that.
And that's one of another piece of circumstantial where, of course, those fibers are going to be there because, of course, she threw herself across the body.
Yeah.
It's not crazy to think that, you know, that type of contamination is going to happen because everything was contaminated.
And to stay on track with the evidence and the DNA and whatnot, I think it was in 1998. The district attorney, Mary Lacey, after gathering all the DNA and evidence, she took it upon herself to go publicly and say that the entire Ramsey family is exonerated from the crimes, that they had nothing to do with the actual murder or the kidnapping gone bad, however, you know, whatever it was. Okay. Mark Beckner, he was the chief, just up until recently, he was the chief of the Boulder Police Department. At the time, he was an investigator on the case. He did an AMA on Reddit.
Nice.
And he was he spoke candidly about the entire investigation. He didn't realize that everything that he was saying on the AMA was going to be public for the entire world to read.
Oh, shit.
And he was very open. He gave a lot of details, and he said that from the very start, Mary Lacey, she believed that there was no possible way a mother of a child could do this to their child, essentially. All you have to do is turn on the fucking news,
yeah,
and you see horrible stuff happening all across the world. You see people locking children in cars on purpose.
Yes.
You see people overdosing on drugs with their children in the backseat. You see people who do not feed their children, who let their children starve to death. People that keep their children in closets and don't let them out for years. People that keep their children in storage units. People that chain their children in the basement. People do horrible things.
And you can't judge something like that off of like looks or barely knowing someone. Look at Ted Bundy.
Yes. Patsy Ramsey had a lot of money.
Yes.
She portrayed herself in a way of being a part of the upper crust.
Yes.
Okay. So this district attorney immediately latched onto the fact that she does not fit the mold of someone that could do this to their child.
Which is an asinine
idea. It is. So she took it upon herself to exonerate the Ramsey family, which completely kind of shuts down what the police were trying to do up until that point. The DNA that she hung her hat on was DNA that likely was not even related to the actual crime scene, okay? So it's hard. That is such a roadblock as far as figuring out if you think the family did it, investigating that any further. I mean, that's an extreme roadblock for the police department.
Yes.
And Beckner, he, in the AMA, he did say that the entire DA office, I said this once before, but they all pushed back as far as the police investigating the Ramseys as suspects. The district attorneys wanted nothing to do with that. Okay?
Now, touching on suspects, you obviously have, you know, your, you know, the parents, the son, things like that. We talked a little bit, or I talked a little bit about Santa Claus. That was the journalist, Bill McReynolds.
So let me ask this. It's Christmas night, okay? What the fuck do you think Santa Claus actually thought when he came up in this house and Patsy Ramsey's got a garrote around her daughter's neck and she's just torquing, okay? I just see Tim Allen like, gotta get the fuck out of here, you know?
Chomini's ass looks really good in that dress. Come here, little girl.
Oh, God.
So going into to Bill McReynolds here, he, like I said, he was a journalist. He did play Santa Claus that night for their party. Now, after she died, investigators were curious about McReynolds and his wife, who played Mrs. Claus, Tripp DeMuth. That's a fucking sweet name.
DeMuth.
DeMuth. DeMuth. He was one of the prosecutors on the case. He said that Santa gave JonBenet a card that read, "You will receive a special gift after Christmas."
Jesus.
That's foreshadowing like a motherfucker.
I would say so.
Now, they were also intrigued by the fact that McReynolds' daughter had been abducted 22 years before JonBenet's death. That's to the day. Janet McReynolds, she wrote a play about a child who was molested in her basement and then murdered. Now, they did end up giving, you know, hair, handwriting, you know, different various samples, and they were cleared due to the DNA tests. And Santa Claus there, he died back in 2002, so of course you can't really do anything about that.
Justice now, was served.
Yeah, exactly. Now another man, and this is a good one, Michael Helgoth. He was also a prime suspect. He was from Colorado and he died shortly after the murder. But there was a lot of questions. He appeared to have killed himself. And they found a stun gun next to his body.
Oh, man.
Which, of course, you know, like we said, the stun gun they thought was used as part of that. Oh, yeah,
took her down for 4 hours with that stun gun, buddy.
That's a fucking hell of a stun gun.
Yeah, fucking car battery hooked up to it.
they say that the footwear that he had was consistent with the evidence. He did have a stun gun, and he was making statements to friends that were really similar, like eerily similar to the stuff that they were hearing about, you know, in the press. And the strangest thing is that they did find a baseball cap with the letters SBTC found near his body.
Oh.
And of course, those are the same letters that are signed at the end of that ransom note.
Yeah.
Victory SBTC.
And it also leads you to believe, I don't know, there's so many questions there. How did he know about the $118,000?
Yeah. And I mean, there's a good thing to say, like, when they had that 30 or how many ever people that were there at that party a couple nights before, Someone easily could have slipped off into the office, went through their drawers, saw that pay stub and seen that, and maybe wanted that money, so they could have just seen that notepad there as well and ripped out those pages, took those pages home, wrote it out.
Not likely in my mind.
Not likely, but it's
plausible.
Plausible, definitely. So now going into the couple different theories. There's the intruder theory, of course, which, you know, we've talked about a little bit, and then there's the family member theory. We'll start with the intruder theory here. There's, you know, the fact that they, which is what they were trying to show, is that the DA was that there was an intruder into the house that did this. The police did keep the Ramseys, like we said, in their forefront. They had the idea that they did it.
And during the investigation, they did find out that there were several windows left open for Christmas lights to be lit up. There were doors that weren't locked. So to say that an intruder would have had to come through that broken window, which they said was a very hard, would have been an exceptionally difficult window to crawl through.
Yeah.
But there were windows that were just open, unlocked.
Yeah. They didn't lock the doors. They didn't have a alarm. They didn't use the alarm on their house because it was, you know, the area that they lived in.
So in my mind, it's a 50-50 flip between an intruder and who I think did it.
The intruder theory here, they're saying that, you know, the intruder got in the house. They're saying that, you know, they subdued JonBenet using the stun gun, and they took her to the basement, where she was killed, and then they left the ransom note. Now, just like, there's been at least 100 different burglaries in the neighborhood, and was it 38 registered sex offenders within 2 miles of that area. So, with her being the beauty queen and obviously having a high profile father in a crazy business, it's safe to say, you know, that I'm sure there was some type of...
Oh, they knew.
They knew that there was a tension there.
In prison, we like to call them chomos. That's short for child molester.
Yeah.
They knew where the Ramsey girl was at.
Yeah, I mean, you can't not know about that. That's the way that the DA was trying to push it. Now, the police obviously thought that it was the family member theory. The Boulder police obviously completely exclusively agreed that it was John and Patsy.
There's also the wild card of Burke.
Yes, exactly.
And the possibility of them trying to clean up for Burke.
Yes.
So let me say this. This is kind of the funny story I wanted to give you. They said there was such an extreme hatred from Burke to JonBenet because...
The attention. Yeah.
That he had this fixation with like feces, like shit.
He's a monkey.
Yes. That he would run around the house and he would constantly terrorize JonBenet with feces, like his own shit. He would take his shit and he would smear it on the walls in her bedroom, okay? And then anytime she was in the bathroom...
Take that, bitch.
Yeah. Oh, you want to play with my Legos?
Well, you can play with my shit, too.
Yeah. I'll be ready for another shit sandwich, bitch! Anytime she would use the bathroom, he would, like, charge in with, like, a handful of shit and, like, smear it on the walls to harass her. And at one point, okay... How do all of our episodes always wind up with us talking about shit?
Every single one.
Okay, and there was one, Patsy went on record and said that at one point that she went to put JonBenet to bed and there was a grapefruit-sized pile of shit that he had been saving that he put in her bed just like to be a menacing little fucking... Shithead.
He's fucking Dennis the Menace, but with shit.
For lack of a better word, a shithead.
Yeah, he's literally a shithead.
So, and that is on the record that there was an extreme disdain from Burke.
Which, that's understandable. I mean...
Poopy Burke.
It obviously, you know, seems that
She got a lot of attention.
Yeah.
But then, like we said in the beginning, like John would stay up later to play with Burke.
Right.
So I'm sure as Patsy focused her energy on JonBenet, John focused his energy on
and maybe Burke. he even noticed that and kind of to counterbalance it.
To this day, Burke, he's been in the media recently. He did an interview. He was on the show with Dr. Phil.
Yep.
But to this day, the Boulder Police Department still want to sit down and have an interview with him. He flat out refuses. His attorney told the police department, leave him alone. Don't call him ever again. He's not doing an interview. He's kind of socially awkward. He's completely strange.
During that entire interview, he had like this shit-eating grin on his face the entire time.
And even during the interviews back then when he was a kid, he said, he made it known that he couldn't be bothered by his sister's murder. He was too worried about playing video games.
Yeah.
Like I said, he's completely socially awkward, and he won't... The Boulder Police Department, they are clamoring to sit down and talk with him. He's not given it the time of day. And after the murder, there was a huge disconnect between Patsy and John. They didn't talk. I mean, they eventually to the point where they divorced. She passed away. He's still living.
Right.
But there was a huge disconnect. They didn't speak. They didn't care to be in the presence of one another. And that comes kind of strange to me. Like, maybe one of them was kind of upset about... Like, I don't feel like John was involved. I feel like John was involved, but I think he was sorry that he had to be involved. Like, maybe Patsy was the spearhead on all of this happening.
I agree with that.
Which, I guess, when we get into our final theories.
Going back to the family member theory here, police do not see any evidence whatsoever of a forced entry. They did see events of staging, the ransom note, and the Ramseys, like we said, were completely uncooperative, not giving them any help whatsoever to solve the case. They stated, their reluctance was because, they were complete, they're the forefront.
They were part of a witch hunt.
Yeah, exactly.
Some Donald Trump shit.
And so, of course, they didn't want to help the police at all.
Fake news.
Yes, exactly. And another theory here is that Patsy hit JonBenet after a bedwetting episode. And then...
There were stains on the bed and whatnot for where she had some... she was prone to having accidents.
It happens.
It happens to the best of us.
Yeah, it happened to me last week.
Right.
it really didn't, but just for the sake of this conversation, it didn't.
I still feel bad that I woke you up for that.
Oops. And then she choked her to cover up, what had happened, thinking, that she was already dead. Now, we don't have any history of showing any type of, abuse or any uncontrolled anger there, but, that's just one of the theories. Now, Burke, he was 9, of course, whenever all this happened, and having small kids, we know how temperamental and...
How easily they lose control.
Sweet and sour, things can go real quick. That's a big thing with me. Like, they'll do stuff and not know what they're doing, not knowing what the effects are going to be. They're little. Yeah. They don't think about that kind of stuff.
NBC did a show where they put together a panel of former investigators and detectives and federal agents. And they came to the final conclusion that it was Burke that committed the murder.
Yes.
And Burke sued NBC for like $750 million because of slander, essentially, which it's freedom of speech.
Right. Yeah. He was interviewed a few times, but they were not concerned whatsoever with him. This is when he was younger. But obviously, since he's gotten older, he hasn't done anything. He, the Boulder police chief said in a couple interview or said in an interview that Burke Ramsey was not involved in the killing of his sister.
Wrong again.
Yeah. we have, you know, it can be, if you're going to go with the family, it's obviously going to be one of three people. It's either going to be John, which I completely exclude John. I feel like if he's involved,
I don't exclude him from the initial act. I just exclude
from the murder. I feel like if he had anything to do with it, he assisted.
In sorry. I do exclude him from the initial act. I think he should not be excluded when it comes to the cover up.
Absolutely. And let's get into what we think. And I think we've made it kind of obvious what we think it is. And, I feel that, you know, this far in, we might as well just go ahead and say it, even though we've been hinting around it the entire time. I feel like me and you both believe it's Burke.
I do.
I think that something happened that night, which we don't know about. They had the pineapple. Obviously, they were eating that together.
I don't think they were eating it together. I think he was eating the pineapples.
Or she took some.
And she ran up and grabbed maybe a handful and stuck him in her mouth.
It just pissed him off.
And that's when he grabbed the flashlight, because there's no way a 9-year-old could inflict that damage on her head with his fist.
And one thing I do kind of want to touch on here that I forgot about beforehand. This is my big bomb. I wrote a bomb beside my notes here because this is my thing. I wanted to get into it once I said I thought it was Burke. One of the things that we realized or we've figured out recently that was entered into evidence was books that were found in the Ramsey's house. Now, these books, there were multiple books, and they had to do with sexually aggressive behavior by children. And if you remember correctly, like I said, the autopsy showed that there was a history of some type of sexual abuse, not like traumatic abuse, but enough to where they could tell that there had been some damage done to her. Now, the police tried to get medical records from the Ramseys. They got them all, but they would not release Burke's medical records. They were refusing to give those up to the police. So we never got to see his medical records. If it was a situation where, you know, he was taking advantage of her, we don't know. I honestly don't have any books about sexually aggressive kids in my house.
Not anymore.
I burn those, but I mean, I feel like that's a big thing, and it fits.
And it goes along with the shit. Like, that's like, I don't want to say that's sexually aggressive, but it's very provocative. It's strange to say the least.
Right.
So, like, jumping back, I think that they were eating the pineapples. She grabbed a handful for whatever reason. Or maybe he used the pineapples to coax her downstairs for whatever reason. And that's when he struck her with a flashlight.
Hit her, and then...
Because there was just too much going on. The time frame, they pinned the time of death down at 1 a.m., and Patsy woke up at 5. So there's too much stuff that happened in that amount of time for it to perfectly lay out to where nothing was heard, nothing was discovered, nothing was disturbed, okay?
Yeah. My train of thought with it is that I think that Burke did it. I think that they were downstairs, and I think he tried to, in some way, you know, sexually molest her.
Yeah.
If that's what you want to use. And
that would be a reason to wake her up in the middle of the night.
Yeah. And I feel like that she was either going to say something or was being too loud and crying or something of that nature. And to shut her up, that's what he did. He may have tried to coax her with the pineapple.
Yes.
Which is you know, something that very well could have happened. And then I think that...
Usually the guys that did stuff to me when I was a child, it was bicycles in the back of a van. I really liked bicycles. And then it was Sega games. Like, yeah, I got some Sega games back here.
Sucker for them vans with no windows.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm at one of those two things. I think it's the most
right.
The it fits the most. I mean, obviously, I don't know if he physically, you know, after he hit her, he may have freaked out and got the parents, and then they just either finished it, or he may have finished it himself and then got them afterwards. Yeah. And that's when they proceeded to do you know, what they did, so they didn't lose their last kid.
She died at 1 o'clock. John and Patsy probably went to sleep around 11 or a little later.
Yeah.
Not enough time for her to disturb her hair and makeup, which is why her hair and makeup was completely perfect whenever the police arrived.
Right. So, I mean, I feel like it had to have been him.
Yeah, and then they woke up and they thought she was dead, and then she showed signs of life. And while she was unconscious from the head blow, they staged this elaborate kidnapping.
Because they didn't want to put more light on her, how fucked right. up their son was.
Yeah. And there was too much attention to making sure she was treated right after death for this to be someone that wasn't emotionally involved with her. You speak about her being wrapped up in the blanket, but she was also dressed in her favorite gown.
Yes.
Whenever she was placed in the basement. For someone to come in and not be familiar with the home and know where the back of the wine cellar is, I'm not buying that. Yeah. That seems to me like a spot where I would hide a body in the event that I would want to get rid of it later.
Yeah.
So at some point it clicked with John, like, holy shit, they're going to find her. That's because he went to the basement several times.
And then you have the note itself, which the note alludes that she's alive and she's being looked after.
Right.
So is this note just like a big, like, hey, gotcha.
Yeah.
Like,
just kidding.
Just fucking with you. She's dead.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
And that's why, like I said, someone that had to know the ins and outs of the house put her there
right.
to, I think, get her at a later time to actually dispose of the body.
Right. Well, that's what I think. That's what we think, that's I should
my
say.
My motherfucking story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. We're,
And if you're listening, Burke Ramsey, if you're getting this message right now,
fuck you.
No. You're getting a fucking broken Zima bottle right up against the jugular if I ever see you in public. In the name of your sister.
For JonBenet.
Yeah.
Well, I say that wraps up this fucking hellacious case. I was really excited about
all my pages of notes. You hear that? 100,000 fucking pieces of paper.
I was really excited about doing this, and then about halfway through it, I was like, this was a fucking mistake.
Yeah.
There's just so much stuff.
There is.
To write.
There's so much stuff in this that we could circle back around and cover it.
Yeah, I know we missed stuff and we didn't go over stuff, but I mean, there's so much of it and we only have so long. And I don't want to do 19 episodes about this thing.
I don't want to do it anymore.
I just don't want to do it. Well,
I think, but you and I single-handedly brought back Zima.
I believe so.
Some kind of fucking shift in the space-time continuum when you and I talked about butt-chugging Zimas.
First episode.
They brought it back. I think it's Miller that makes it. Zima or Coors? I don't fucking know.
Probably Coors.
Whoever makes it, give us millions of dollars. So.
Or like $350.
Yeah. I would honestly quit my job for $1,700. That's it.
Please give me a reason to quit my job.
Yeah.
Well, do we have shout outs to do on this episode?
Oh, yeah. That's part of the paper I just crumbled up.
let's wrinkle that out.
Remember, anytime you share our stuff, you do get a shout out. Also, if you, Rob touched on this before, if you give us a positive review, I don't care, give us a shitty review, but
yeah.
If you give us a review on iTunes, we will send you a sticker for free. Just send us a screenshot. And we will mail you a sticker for free. But to start with the shout-outs, I got Mike Pleska, Emily Morgan, Amanda Adams. She's a constant share of our content. And Sean Macko as well.
My dude.
I'm sorry, I'm going to struggle with this name a little bit. Chris Zimbalin. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
And the always faithful Zach Merritt. He's always sharing. Tiffany Fish.
Thank you.
Thank you, Fish. And again, always Matt Stillwell, Molly Wilbanks.
Thank you.
And then our new buddy, Hunter Thompson.
Yes. Thank you. Good sir.
He shares some good stuff on Facebook. I laugh at him.
He's a good guy. I like him.
And from our area. Tree person, Matt Trimble.
Yes.
And then Emily Aduccio. I married her and her husband. I'm an ordained minister. Believe
fun
that
name.
Fucking believe that or not. I have probably done 100 weddings. I don't know. Phil Whitaker. Mark Ketron, he's always sharing our stuff as well. I got to get a shirt to his significant other. She won the drawing.
Send us your address, homie.
Yeah. And then last but not least, she reached out to us tonight. Tiffany Ann.
Thank you.
She dates my friend from work. His name is Billy Bates, and we call him Master Bates.
Of course, it's only fitting.
Because.
Why not?
Masturbating is a sin. Okay. And anytime you touch yourself,
Jesus Christ,
you are touching God underneath his gown, and you are doing dirty things to God, just like you're doing dirty things to yourself.
But it feels so good.
What I like to do is get on the internet on that one, I don't know, that one site where you're like a penguin and you walk around and you talk to other penguins. You know what I'm talking about?
Shit.
I don't know.
Like Club Penguin or something like that?
Club Penguin. I like to touch myself and play Club Penguin.
And then you're put on a list.
I have a special keyboard that I keep in a Ziploc bag.
Hide it under your stairs.
Yeah.
Well, thank you everybody for listening.
Yeah. I have no fucking clue what the next episode is.
I don't know either. We'll figure it out this week and we'll let you guys know once we do. Nick will throw together a sweet little picture for us and put it out.
Our Instagram. We were getting so many people from Instagram.
Thank you guys so much. You guys are awesome.
If you reach out to us, we always love to talk on there. We'll talk with anybody about anything. You give us your topics. If you want to shoot us something the next day or two, maybe that'll be, you know, something.
Yeah, we may go back to our voting list there and see what we got.
Yeah.
Parallel
universes. I'm not ready for that. No,
after this, I'm not ready for parallel universe. I want something that's like Hitler's micro penis or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Just please let it be something fun.
Yeah.
So I do thank you guys for listening.
Yeah.
For talking to us, for being cool.
I got a new microphone. I hope it sounded okay.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys very much.
Thank you, Bro Ohio Nation.
Next episode. Thank you, bros.